So, that was River, isn't it? This place in the West Pine. I've been going between my mother's flat and the monastery for the last few years. So this is like Jamaica for me. It's all relative. So some of the ideas around meditation. If you had to describe to someone how hard you have to tap an egg to break it, how would you describe that? It's impossible. You just break it. And how did you learn how to break? I know you can't remember, but how did you learn how to break the egg? You just crack, crack, and now breaking eggs is normal, right? And it's a quite a delicate thing to break an egg. Too hard and splatters and dented and whatever. So much of our learning is just by doing. You just can't get instruction around it. You just have to do it. So the most important thing in meditation is to do it. But there's some things like, if I wanted to learn how to knit, I wanted to make an afghan or something, it'd be very helpful if someone showed me the stitches. Right? To get the craft, they'd have to do the law. So they'd have to practice. So there's both kind of instruction that we get in meditation, ideas that we get from other people. And they're very individual. I'm going to talk about what works for me, and others will talk about what works for them. And take those on board as reflection, but then the real insight and confidence comes from just doing it, observing, trying, failing, succeeding, failing, you know, just that. It's very, very ordinary. So if you get caught in doubt, what should I do? Just do something. Keep it moral. But, you know, just try something. Like, am I making too much effort or too little effort? Well, make a lot of effort. And if you get uptight, you know, oh, that's too much effort. Simple, isn't it? I mean, this is the way you learn. It's the same in meditation. And the same in craft. To get really good at crocheting or weaving or cooking or whatever, you just do it, watch, and then you start to have a kind of tacit knowledge, don't you? A knowledge which is hard or intuitive knowledge. And you ask people, how did you cook that? Well, I don't know, how much of this did you put in? And it tastes good. So that the knowledge, the insights that we get, or understanding, becomes just a part of our the way we make effort. How do you do a standard shift on a car? You grind gears and you ruin the car when you're a teenager, and then you just do it automatically. You know how to do that. So there's a lot of that in meditation. Just you build up a kind of intuitive, tacit understanding of what works for you, right? And then you stick with that. And that moves to a sort of pleasantness and an ease of mind, just naturally. One of the things that is, I think, important for in meditation, just like another craft, just like sport, right? A good tennis player has good hand-eye coordination, right? Tiger Woods probably has good hand-eye coordination. A good golfer, a good tennis player. A meditator has good mind-body awareness in the same way. If I'm feeling uptight, there's going to be a certain tone of mind, a certain coloring of mind, a certain mood of mind, a certain mindset, say, but also the body will have that. It'll be they're one package, you know, too. So body awareness is a very helpful way of being mindful. So the core of the craft is awakeness. That's the central thing. That's the goal. That's the practice. It's both the goal and the practice. To awaken. And then the question becomes, so what would help me to sustain this awake mind? Well, one thing that would help would be faith. Do you trust in that proposition? Or is it just my proposition? Is it a Buddhist trick that someone laying on you? Or do you really have a sense that that's where it's at? You have a sense of that's where it's at, and you trust that, have confidence in that, and that works for you, then you're going to move to that, because that's the only thing that makes sense. If you trust in becoming, in getting rid of, right, then when something, you remember some pleasant meditation that you've had, and you'll try to recreate that, and you'll get into a sense of becoming, that's not awareness, that's becoming. If you awaken to becoming, oh, this is what becoming feels like. You're back in the central position again. So faith is very important. Not just blind belief, but real trust and confidence. And what we often see with some mind states, we don't have confidence in awareness. We have confidence in judging, analyzing, getting rid of, distracting, and a whole other range of things. So I think the more you contemplate what this teaching is about, what liberation is about, the more you see what can only be the awake mind, the more you go towards that, the more that just makes sense. Well, I'm not here to convince you, although I'll try to persuade you. Right? The conviction comes from your own practice. So that's important. In a kind of like I've been playing around with weaving and trying to find the right kind of yarn and kind of a little bit of equipment I need. Once I get that in place, I know, okay, I can really develop this now because I've got all the little factors in place. There isn't a lot of doubt or ambiguity. So doubt and ambiguity, as I said yesterday, that's a big piece of the where we lose mindfulness. So we set up a lifestyle, love, a retreat, try to put away the doubt and ambiguity. This is what we do, right? We'll probably have ambiguity about the heating for 2 days, but can we have a little bit. But just, you know, something you give to you. And then just the confidence and awareness that this is the path to the deathless. This is that opening. You know? So that really helps with that. So to see doubt as doubt, and just to be aware of knowing doubt, is a very powerful way to go beyond intellect. But to always be needing to analyze and figure out and judge and all of that is attachment to thought. And that's a predicament of many of us are in. We just keep going to the analytical mind. But to know thought is thought. Just like that. This is very peaceful. So in terms of mind-body sensitivity or awareness, what's important in what we call mindfulness meditation is called satipatthana, Four Foundations of Mindfulness. Mindfulness meditation is what we emphasize is the awareness rather than the object. So it doesn't really matter what you're doing. Some things are more helpful, right? But it doesn't really matter what you're doing. It doesn't really matter what posture you're in, but some postures are more helpful. Doesn't matter really what the sounds in the room are, but some situations of sound are more helpful. It doesn't matter what food you eat, but nutrition is important. So it's the awareness that's important. Right? So you can, like this morning, I came in a bit early, and it felt stuffy. Right? And I thought, I'm going to open the window. No, that's not my job. I'm supposed to just yak away and talk about surrender, okay, so I'll surrender that. So I just sat and stuck in it. It felt uncomfortable. It felt stuffy. But the awareness wasn't stuffy. The awareness can't be stuffy. You can only know stuffiness, right? It's just like that. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we don't do anything. This isn't the kind of life philosophy. That we never make any moves to, you know, to do anything. That would be silly. But just as a way of contemplation, am I taking refuge in temperature? Or am I taking refuge in awareness of temperature? See what I mean? if you take refuge in temperature, so I heard Audrey announcing about the windows, which is good, you know, we try to get the right kind of quantity there. But I think that's very important that you come into a situation, oh, this is the way it is now. So like the sounds in the kitchen. Someone was suggesting that we, not from this group, another group saying we should meditate downstairs in the morning so we don't hear the kitchen sound. What for? It's a sound. Right? But if you have a preference for really silent, the kitchen sounds a hassle. But then you're taking refuge in sound, not in awareness. Now obviously we're not going to turn on the ghetto blasters unless it's a great day, you know. That we did already. We did do that. But you see what I mean? They're like, it's the awareness of the way things are. And the way things are is pleasant and unpleasant. It's just its nature. Comfortable, uncomfortable, hot, cold, delicious, not delicious. It's far and boring. It's just the way it is. So we can create environments, and this is a fantastic environment. I mean, you know, we've got to be doing something right to be here. Right. Look at it. I mean, it's just fabulous and such good people. You know, we're really pretty good folk that we can be doing this together. So this is great. This is wonderful. So this is helpful. This is helpful. And we can do helpful things, but the real refuge is in awareness of the way things are. So in terms of postures, say, any posture has meditative potential, but I think we all find it's more difficult to have clarity of mind when we're lying down as opposed to when you're sitting. Some not. Some people have MS or things like that and they can lie down, or some people are very good at lying down. Most people fall asleep. I guess the yoga I don't know what yoga teachers do with the corpse pose. I don't know if anyone starts snoring. In body awareness, the sitting posture is very helpful because you have to hold up your spine. Okay? And because you have to hold up your spine, you have to put a certain amount of energy forth. And because you have to put a certain amount of energy forth, that gives you vitality. So in a helpful posture is a posture where you're supporting your own back. And you learn a lot about the vitality that is necessary in meditation. Keep the mind awake through, I do at least, through the spine, just through the manipulation of the spine, through the pressing upwards of the spine if I'm sleepy, through the relaxing of the spine from being tense. Just a lot of information there to help me be more mindful. So, body awareness and mind. So, the mood of the mind is dull, then what's the body doing? The body's getting tense, what's the mind doing? So the emphasis in Satipatthana on body awareness is actually quite profound, I think. Just to really know your body, really to understand it in a tactile way, right? Not just as some analysis of body. And then, as you develop more body, good body awareness, then as you're engaging in life, because Satipatthana is all the time. Mindful meditation is all the time. There's no posture we can't be mindful. But if you have good body awareness and you're talking with someone that you're close to and you feel your heart's really open to them, you feel how relaxed that is. You feel how easeful that is. You see how easy it is to be mindful when you're relaxed. And then you start to get irritated at them or uptight and the discussion starts to sour. And you see how your heart gets tight, and your body gets tight, and how difficult it is to be present. You want to get out of there, you want to get rid of the person or whatever. So the body, mind, it's always going on. So in body meditation, what we do is we say, like, learn about the breath. Learn to be with the breath. Learn to remember the breath. See, awareness is most important, right? Be aware of the breath. It gives you a lot of information what the mind is doing. Be aware of the posture. Be aware of tension. Be aware of whatever in the body. And that, in terms of like craft work, it's the same as a tennis player developing good hand-eye coordination. That's what it is, isn't it? It's like being really in touch with the present moment. And to be aware of the body, you can't be thinking about something else. If you're thinking about something else, you can't be aware of the body, obviously. So there's a kind of requirement to inhabit the present moment. And that's crucial, isn't it? Because the spiritual life is about the present moment. It's the eternal now. It's not the eternal tomorrow. That's Paul. And the eternal tomorrow never arrives. You only have the present moment. So to feel the body, to inhabit the body, to inhabit this present moment, because this is going on now. The breath is going on, pain is going on, discomfort is going on, the open heart's going on, the closed heart's going on. It's just the way it is, isn't it? So as you learn to inhabit the body, inhabit the present moment, that makes the mindfulness more strong. The central thing is mindfulness, awake mind. All right. That's what I wanted to cover.